Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you.
Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. Great to be back. Super excited for today's show. Recently, I went a little off script, and it's going to be on script. I talked about transitions and acquisitions. Why? Because they're done wrong. The transition and the acquisition doesn't start and stop at the closing. People think like, I bought a practice, closing, I'm a practice owner. That's when it starts, is when you close. And so I want to build a better method, and we have built a method. You'll hear about our 13 stages. So if you want to know more about like true transitions, acquisitions, and how a great successful transition doesn't just start at the closing, but your future of having your vision infused into practice begins at closing, then check out my most recent episode. Today, avoiding the practice financing fails. And I've talked about financing many times, but I think it's appropriate, especially in today's environment, like, hey, what's happening with lenders? I've got student loans. What do I need to do with these different things? And costs are rising, tariffs and all this different stuff. So I wanted to jump in there. So grab your notepad and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. First and foremost, a lot of people know my background. I spent 10 years in dental financing. So I know a thing or two when it comes to the financing world. I've talked to a lot of banks and I keep up to date what's happening within that world. And of course, my team here at Ideal Practices knows all the ins and outs, and I have former dental specific lenders in that space that guide our clients through every stage, especially during the financing phase. And I've got about four different elements here today that I want to discuss that will help you prepare to ensure that you've got the best financing, that you know what to do with that financing. And more importantly, like, what do you need to do today to prepare to be able to have those conversations? What things are going to be happening within the environment and the marketplace today? So let's jump right in. First thing I always say is avoid being student loan poor. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean, hey, Stephen, I got $1 million. Am I in student loans? Am I poor? No, I'm talking about the other way. I see so many people that post in these different Facebook groups and people asking questions about like, hey, I've got this student loans. What do I need to do with it? And here's the thing is if you are thinking about this path of practice ownership, and if you're listening, then you are, then here's what you need to do. You need to align your repayment structure of your student loans with alignment with your future goals, not future goals in 10 years, but future goals maybe in the next 2 or 3 years. So if you are, maybe you're a D4 that's listening, or maybe you've been out as an associate for a year or so, and you're saying, Stephen, I want to become a practice owner, and I've got the student loan debt, and man, I need to start paying this stuff down. I would say stop, do not pay it all down. And the reason why I say that is it feels good for a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people that are adverse to debt. Me personally, it's like, I look at, you know, everyone has kind of a different relationship with debt. Hey, I have debt and I have good debt, and you know, I don't want to have bad debt. I would say good debt is student loans. And I know that sounds kind of like, wait a minute, Stephen, you're telling me that I've got $400,000 or $500,000 of student loans. That's good. Well, you made an investment into your career, and that's what that was. Yes, it was a large investment, but think about like where you're at with that investment in order to get you to this place here today that you can now become an entrepreneur. That's what you did. It was a big investment into your career to become an entrepreneur. And let's have you become an entrepreneur. So let's do something with your student loans, which is if you've got manageable payments, if you're on any kind of IBR income-based repayment options, stay there. Because what you need to do is ensure that you have cash reserves, liquidity reserves. What are banks looking for today? In today's environment, banks are lending more. I talked to one of the executives at one of the top dental specific lenders just recently the other day, and they said, we have raised the amount of our approvals for startups. That's public. And you'll see some banks, maybe one in particular, pretty big one that's, you know, got, you know, they have red, white, and blue colors and things like that, like a lot of them do. They have raised their approvals. Most banks have. Why? Because cost of goods have gone up, the cost of construction has gone up, timelines and everything like that. So the reality is, but here's the nice thing. Banks don't increase the loan approvals just because they have to have metrics behind this. And the metrics behind this is because they see startups increasing what their production and collections are within the first couple of years. So you have to understand banks lend based upon the amount of risk that they want to take. And startups are a great risk. And dentists are a great risk. They pay back a very low default rate, things like that. I could talk more about like what default rate really means, but default rate really means, yeah, that you didn't pay off the loans. Dentists pay back their loans. So you're a great risk. So the reason why they've increased is because the market has shifted a little bit in terms of cost. The other thing is that the market has shifted in that they're seeing increases with the amount of what the collections and productions are for these startups in the first couple of years. I would say like, and I know what our clients at Ideal Praxis do way beyond in the first year, the industry standard. So I love the fact where our practice is head, but on a national basis, the great thing is that banks are also recognizing that and seeing that as well. So they've increased a little bit, increased dollar figures, but they also had to do, they have to do that in conjunction with seeing what the positive trend is. So with the student loans, what I can say with very much 100% certainty is you'll have to pay them back. That is a reality. You know, unless the government comes in and says, hey, these things are going to be forgiven. Yeah, you're going to be paying them back. But don't put yourself in a position that you've paid down a lot of your student loans to sacrifice your liquidity. So you need, let's say, 5 to 10% of what you're going to borrow. So in today's environment, you probably need somewhere between $50,000 $75,000 in liquid assets, non-retirement assets, in order to put yourself in this best position to be able to obtain the necessary funding. So as soon as you get out of dental school and you start to work, or if you're an associate that's listening today, if you don't have those funds, you won't be able, I'm not saying you won't get funding, but what you'll have is maybe a more difficult path. Maybe banks are going to look at that because the liquidity is kind of it's the buffer. It's kind of like if they look at everything else and they say, whoa, this doctor has saved, they're going to approve that dollar figure based upon that factor alone. That's the mitigating factor to loan approvals. As a former dental specific lender myself, it is liquidity. So have liquid assets. So what I mean by student loan poor is I pay down my student loans and I've got no money. Bad combo, folks. It's better to have debt and cash than none of each. I've said that before and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. You better have both, or well, have liquidity first and then start to tackle that debt. So focus on liquidity, then tackle that. So don't become what I call student loan poor, which is you focus so much on that student loan. There'll be that time. The fastest path of paying student loan debt, become a practice owner. That is the fastest path. Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. One of the stories I shared at our most recent course, Startup Practice Blueprint, was this story. And I don't know if I shared it here on the podcast. It's a doctor named Dr. Ben. Maybe Dr. Ben's going to listen to this. He shared a story that one of the biggest things, and I've heard this from multiple clients, but this was on Messenger. He said, not only is he a great community person, he's actually expanding his practice. He's been there for 2 years in his community. But two of the things he's been able to accomplish in the last couple of years. Number one was student loan debt. He never thought this message he sent to me was, I got it and I've saved it. And it was like, oh, like, wow. And it was a proud moment, you know, in my role, because I was proud to see him and others achieve their goals. And like, sometimes I get emotional about that because I'm like, oh my God, here's a guy, you know, he said, one of my biggest things I'd never thought, one of my bigger hurdles in life that I never thought I'd be able to overachieve was paying my student loan debt off. Check the box. I saw him about four weeks ago, actually, at one of our growth seminars, one of our summits for our what we call Mastery, which is a growth program within Ideal Practices. And he said his other big goal, we were coming out of the restroom as dudes. He's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I said, Hey, Ben, how you doing?" He's like, "Great." He goes, "Just bought a house." I was like, "Cool. First house he ever bought." And he's like, "I'm checking these boxes in life of like these biggest things. So if you're thinking about student loans, if you got these things, you got these other goals, the right financing will get you there, but ensure that the student, you can tackle these student loans later. I'm not Dave Ramsey. If I was Dave Ramsey, well, I would be on a different program. But the other thing Dave Ramsey would say probably to every dentist is don't go to dental school unless you can pay for it out of your pocket from day one. Never borrow that debt. That would mean we would probably have hardly any dentists today. So Dave Ramsey's got a crowd and has a following, and I have those that I serve, and I know reality when it comes to our industry. So focus on liquidity first, tackle the loans later. The other element when it comes to financing, and I always like to look at like, where do I want to go, is this spending less doesn't earn more. These stories of those individuals that put out there like, "I built my first practice for $100,000. Let me show you the formula." That is not reality. It's a reality for one person, maybe two. I have a saying our team here at Ideal Practices knows this. We had some t-shirts made a few years ago, and it's, "I don't live in the 3 to 5%. In other words, if 3 to 5% of things happen with this thing, whatever that is, that means 97% of it is, if it's kind of like if you look at reviews on Amazon for a product or something like that. And we've all looked at reviews, whether it's, for certain products on Amazon, or you're looking at TVs on, BestBuy.com or whatever it is. I love reading reviews. People read reviews for dental practices as well, which is how a lot of people make decisions on providers, products, and things like that. And I love looking at the reviews, especially with like a product. And it's like, the thing worked, but it was delivered 2 days late. 1 star. Wait a minute. The TV that you bought works, but Best Buy didn't get it there in the time that you thought. So therefore, that's a 1-star review. You're reviewing the Samsung TV, not FedEx or the delivery service of Best Buy. And if you look at that and say, "Wow, there were 100 reviews and all of them were great. And then these 3 were about the box was damaged. The person delivered it late. The person had dirty shoes when they walked into my home." That's 3%. So 3 out of 100 means, you know what? I'm not going to live in that 3%. So I always say 3 to 5% is a ground where I'm perfectly acceptable living, knowing that the other 95 to 97% is correct. Now, why do I say that? Is because 97% of dental startups don't cost $100,000. They cost a lot more than that to invest into starting your own practice or acquiring a practice. So while there might be that small minuscule of people that have done these projects and done these certain projects that have spent way less than everybody else, well, we don't know the backstory, and it doesn't really apply to 97% of those that are going to do this, probably 99% in this case. So I think if you focus on, so why do I say this, is that if you focus simply on, okay, I have student loans. Oh man, I want to borrow the lease because that is going to be less risky for me as a new practice owner. Maybe it's less risky for the bank. So if you approach a bank and say, "Hey, I think I only need like $300,000 because I'm going to find a way to shoestring this whole thing together." The bank doesn't look at that and say, "Well, that's least risky than the doctor that's going to borrow $750,000. That's not their metrics. Whether you borrow $750,000 or $300,000, it's still the same risk. It's just a little bit more debt. And for big banks that are out there that have literally billions of dollars of loans out there, $300,000 or $400,000 isn't going to move their needle, and their default rate doesn't change and things like that, folks. Now, what I'm not advocating for is spending the most amount of money, and that's not a model that I subscribe to. But I think if you go into the same, if I borrow the least and I spend the least and I build a cheap startup, well, folks, you probably just have a cheap startup that probably got underfunded, and you're focusing on the wrong product, or excuse me, you're focusing on the wrong area. You're focusing on the savings to become prosperous and the savings to become a successful practice owner rather than the growth strategies. It takes an investment. You made an investment to become a dental, become a dentist, right? Okay. So you borrowed $300,000-$500,000 to become a dentist. Why did you do that? You didn't have to borrow that much and you could have been something else. But you did it because that was a path that led you towards where you wanted to be. The same thing is going to apply within a startup, which is borrowing the least doesn't equal success. Just focus on growth and investing in the right places to grow your practice, whether that's in, obviously, in marketing, whether it's in growth strategies. It's in areas of developing the right systems, the right protocols, your team. I like this book, Who Not How, by Dan Sullivan, the founder of Strategic Coach. I've been a coach, a student for years. Like, focusing on who is in there, growth strategies. If you think, if I build small and buy everything super, super cheap, I'm going to, you know, and like, if I could shave down my marketing, guess what? You'll just have a cheap practice without patients. So now there's a lot of areas that you can focus on, especially as it relates to your ideal patient. So I've talked about the ideal patient multiple times. If you read my book, The Startup Dentist, you'll hear about the ideal patient, which is imagine your practice. You're building your practice for those that you want to attract into your practice. So what does that mean? If you're in a blue collar area, don't build an opulent practice and vice versa. You know, and I also think that you can, in today's environment, there's so many different alternatives. You can go on Pinterest and things like that and find all kinds of ways to make things look opulent without an opulent price. So spending less doesn't mean that you're going to earn less. That just means you spent less. And it doesn't mean that you're going to grow faster. So make sure that when you borrow, understand it's not about borrowing the most. It's about borrowing and investing that into the right spots within your practice. Systems, protocols, development of your management, team management areas, obviously marketing strategies, community growth. All those different elements will help you grow. Travertine tile flown in from Italy doesn't make you grow. So when borrowing, maybe guard yourself against the messaging that you've seen. That's like, you can build a practice for $100,000. I would love to see that formula because I've been involved in about 1,000 startups and very few of them are in that range unless there was like very unique build out scenarios already pre-built. Chairs were in there and all you need to do is put a coat of paint on it and add a few things. Then yes, possibly you could do that, but that's a needle in a haystack of trying to find that space. And that's already built. And everybody wants a built out dental office. We have clients that are going into built out dental offices. Actually, we got a couple that are going in there right now. Did we search out for those? No. What happened was we found those spaces available as a part of the real estate search. So if you just focus, if you get this myopic focus on like that area of like, I need to only spend this amount of money, you're going to miss a bigger opportunity. So focusing simply on spending very little will give you a myopic view that won't allow you to look at a 30,000 foot view because you're focused on what's in front of you as opposed to what's above. I like to refer to this as like I like to say the helicopter, and the ideal practice team knows about my concept of the helicopter, which is sometimes I'll have a couple of my advisors, people like that, call me and they'll say, I need you to be a helicopter, which means they're stuck within something that's in here, but they're so stuck within this one element that they need another set of eyes that can look above this. So imagine if you're in a traffic jam you're like, man, what's going on? You're stuck behind 100 different cars. Helicopter flies over and says, we know where everybody can get off this next detour because they're hovering above and they can see what's happening. So that's what this is that when you get so myopic on one certain area or a price or just saving so much within your funding, you're going to miss the 30,000 helicopter view, which is you're looking at this as a startup business, not just how did I save a few dollars on gloves, for example, which seems like gloves are a really hot topic today with tariffs and everything. So I don't know. Maybe I need to go into the nitrile glove business here soon. So spending less doesn't mean earning more. The other part about when it comes to financing is this, is that you can't time the marketplace. rate is one aspect of funding. It is not the aspect that you need to make every decision upon. Rate is a factor of that you will choose a dental lending partner for. And I do call it a dental lending partner, because you need them to give you the funding. Rate is one factor. Terms, conditions, collateral, if they need required down payment, what kind of cash do you need to inject, repayment structure, all these different elements line up that are in there. And I understand we're in an environment today, which is like the market is bouncing around. Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? What's going to happen with tariffs and all these different things? Can we all go back 5 years? Remember this thing called COVID? Now, I live in Florida, and not to be, but Florida, we didn't really get a lot of press down here about COVID. Ha ha, that's my joke. But remember 5 years ago, COVID happened about 5 years ago. We had none of us had a clue about what do we do? What's going to happen? Unpredictability. And look where we are 5 years from today, where it's like, okay, we made ourselves through that. We made ourselves through .coms. We made ourselves through the 07-08. And we always figure this part out. And I think a lot of people say, wow, if I don't know what's going to happen with the marketplace, I don't know if this is a good time to start up a practice, become a practice owner. Hey, listen, there's a lot of times where people invest into turmoil and becomes the best opportunities ever. I'll say this. You can't time the marketplace. What we know what rates are today and what the lending environment today is what we know today. What we don't know is what happens 30 or 60 days from today. But what I do know is that dental practice has been so resilient that turn down to marketplaces and things like that has had not a shuddering effect. It's had a very minor effect. It's been a ripple. 07-08, it was a ripple. COVID, like, yes, I'm sure practice has gone out of business. But if you look at this from a 30,000 foot view, there was a ripple within our marketplace. And we saw so many practices come right out of there as strong as possible, but even grow, and they shifted how they even approach things. So I think the other part about like dentistry is everybody becomes very nimble within our industry to figure out, like, I found new ways to grow my business. I found new ways to grow my practice by offering these kinds of services and these different elements. And the same thing is going to hold true whether we're in, tariffs and things like that. So if you're thinking about, like, I'm going to time the marketplace, you're never going to time it right. There's very few Warren Buffetts out there, and even he can't predict what's going to happen. But what we know today needs to be that decision that says, this is my time to open my own practice, become a practice owner, because you can't time rates. You can't time market elements. And what you can do is say, this is what's going to happen. The other thing I can promise to you is, like, hey, listen, construction prices in the last few years have risen. They never go down. Equipment prices never go down. So if you think, hey, I'm going to have a greater deal 6 or 8 months from today, you're going to be mistaken. It won't be better. What today's environment is the best. It's going is the best for that environment today. Rates could fluctuate. Sure, a few years ago rates were lower, but rates are still in a great place to borrow, and the banks are still there borrowing. So, don't time the market when it comes to banks, because tomorrow's lending environment could be radically different. What's happening today is banks are lending more. I just said earlier, like, probably the largest dental specific lender out there has just increased their loan approvals based upon positive data that they've gotten from the industry. It says dentists, dental practices, startups are all exceeding where those projections are over the last few years. They've increased that. So, positive environment. So here's the thing. If you want to be able to put yourself on like what I call a silver platter, this is the method that we guide our clients through. You need to prepare yourself in order to talk to banks. Don't just go in there and thinking like, hey, I got an approval, this is a great idea. Because the other part about this is, just because a bank's approve you doesn't mean like you have a plan to do a startup or acquire the right practice. Banks are lending based upon your personal financial statement, maybe in production elements and things like that. They don't lend because the plan to grow includes things like demographics, marketing strategies, protocols, pricing, projections, all those different elements. Banks, for startups, because they're lending based upon their internal projections, they're just saying, does this borrower fit within this buy box? They actually call it that. They call it a buy box. Does it fit within this box? And if your credit score is in a good place, your liquidity is in a good place, and you're asking for $4 million to start up a practice, they're going to say, all right, fits the box. Approved. Now you got to have a plan. Or to have a plan, you need to prepare to have that plan. So I always talk about the silver platter method. If you read my book, Startup Dentist, you'll hear about the silver platter method, which is preparing to talk to banks. That means you need to understand what's in your personal financial statement. Review where you're at with your debt. Review where you're at with your personal financials. Do you need to increase your liquidity? Get it done today. If you need to borrow some funds from family members in order to get yourself there, get that all done before you start approaching banks. Have a business plan. Not all banks require them, but if you're opening a business, don't you want to have a plan? Yeah, have a plan. Tell your story. Have some estimates in terms of your budget. Talk about the area and the demographics. Have projections. Have your marketing strategy. Have how you're going to grow this business, because some banks are going to look at that business plan and they're going to weigh those things and say, do we feel more comfortable with borrower A or borrower B? So some banks are going to put a lot of credence into that business plan. The other part about this is that you want to have an idea of what your production is. Now, it might be hard because if you're an associate, you're like, oh, how do I get my production information without people asking? What are you doing? So we don't want to get, you don't want to rat yourself out to your current employer. So I would say this, have an idea of what you can produce. If you can get production reports and things like that, great. Not a requirement, and not all banks are going to require that, but have an idea. If you're a 1099, so if you're an independent contractor, it used to be really hard years ago to like kind of decipher that code. And it's actually a real easy code. Basically, what you get paid is really kind of based upon your production. So as long as you can articulate that to the banks and say, I'm a 1099, this is what I earned based upon this percentage of how you're paid based upon production or collection and things like that, you're good. They're going to, the best banks, they have those people that can decipher that code. They can back into that code to understand what your income and then what also what your production capabilities are based upon that. So have that information available, review it. Don't just go into a bank and say, here's where I start, because the bank isn't where you start with a startup. It's not even where you start with acquiring a practice. It's one of the steps. Before you get there, we always talk about vision and building this out and having pre-planning this element so that we can put you in the best position to talk to banks. I want you to be in control that when you talk with banks. You want to make sure that you're not going in there trying to convince them why they should give you the loan. You should be in the best position that they're almost like, please take our loan. We think we have the best solution for you. That's how you flip the script. Whatever that one lender is, LendingTree, when banks compete, you win. Pretty true. And have a couple banks to be able to review and compare against to make sure you have the right conditions, to have the right lending environment that will give you the opportunity for growth, not just simply a loan. And that's where you want to be. So that's a wrap on the topic of avoiding the practice financing fails. Don't forget to check out the show notes for any and all links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, I'm going to bring out a special guest. And this special guest was one of our startup clients. And you're going to hear a story, perseverance, growth, and how she grew with building a community around her in one of the most saturated markets in the entire country. I'll see you there.
As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.